So we've entitled this talk, Jesus Has What You Need. There is a belief out there, and it's really prevalent in our culture, that what you need in order to be completed or feel whole, W-H-O-L-E, to feel whole, is out there somewhere in the earth, and you have to find it. And so you have this whole culture of young adults going out there to find themselves and to discover themselves, and they need to find wholeness. That, by the way, is a lie, and it's not that you can't go and discover things and enjoy life and do those kinds of things, but it's not going to give you wholeness. In fact, there's not one of these young adults that has come back and just been like, now I am full, right? It doesn't do, that's not what it does. It just produces in you a dissatisfaction with what you come back to. Like, here's kind of, we do 2 weeks of this every year, give God a year stuff. But here's one of the dangers of going to a DTS, like in somewhere awesome, is it can make you dissatisfied with what you have at home. So when you come back, you get depressed, and it's just like, oh. And so you have to work through that. And it's those, even a DTS, so it's not bad, but that's not where you go for fullness. It's not where you go for wholeness. You had a great, most people have great time there, but that's not what you need. And so the whole point of this talk is Jesus actually has what you need where he's put you. All right. So that's the kind of the preamble, and here's my experience with that. So when I graduated from high school, or before I graduated from high school, I didn't know what to do with my life. I had zero clue. I knew that there was a few things I was interested. One of them was dentistry. Not really sure why. Ah, see, there you go. I could have been a dentist. I could be talking to you guys while I'm drilling your teeth, and then what are you going to do? You can't talk back, right?
Anyway.
Oh, evil. Just remember, I have the tools to make you have lots of pain. it's true. So that was one of my thoughts, being a dentist. And then I really love science. And so I wanted to be in some sort of scientific field, whether it be in a lab somewhere, or I just thought I just love science, and I love the projects and thinking about life that way, figuring out how things work, and you know, physics and that kind of stuff. I loved it. And so I thought maybe that would be what God had for me. But I didn't have any clue. So my brother went to Bible school. So I'm like, I guess I'll just go to Bible school too. Bridal school. Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I did. I decided I was going to go for 1 year, ended up going for two. And I just came out of it with... I almost missed the whole point of this. So in between my first and second year at Bible college, I got to go on this experience to Indonesia for a summer, and it was incredible. It was a missions experience, not really like a DTS, but it was sort of like that. It was really long. I had my training in LA at Biola University, and then they sent us out in team. Our team was four, and we spent a summer in Indonesia, and it was amazing. God showed me so many things, and I came back to Canada, and I was just kind of like a little bit of culture shock. I wasn't prepared for coming back, and even little things like I'm walking because I landed in Vancouver and because I used to live there, so I'm visiting some friends, had a couple days of delay before I kept going. Looking around, seeing all these empty spaces, going like, where's all the people, right? Because you forget, like you've been in Indonesia where it's just wall-to-wall people everywhere you go, and you get to Canada, and you're like, but did everybody leave? Like, where is everyone? So there's little things like that, but it causes me this dissatisfaction. And then you start to long for those experiences where you think, oh, I was really close to God at that point. And so we do that. Even coming back from LYC, in fact, I've been feeling it a little bit. I've been playing their playlist, right? You guys, yeah? And just reliving it a little bit because the band was so good this year. They were amazing. They were like the best they've ever been. And so it was, oh, yeah. Like just, okay, I'm not going to. You can talk to me after about it. But we come away from these experiences, and one of the things we have to be careful of is they give us a little bit of a dissatisfaction for our normal lives. And so you feel it, and you feel it a little bit, and you feel like, oh, there's something missing. But the problem is we go and we identify a good experience we had, and then we say that is where fullness was, and so then we want to repeat it. But what God wants for you is to take that experience and use it in your normal everyday life and pursue Jesus, because wholeness, completeness, fullness is only found in him. It's not through experiences. So anyway, that's the preamble to our thing here today. Okay, so you can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 to 13, and that's where the talk is coming from today. So in Ephesians chapter 5 is on page 706, if you got one of these Bibles. All right, so let's read it here. So I'm just going to, usually I walk through them slowly, and I'll interject a few times, but we're going to read the passage, and then I'm just going to split it up. There's some things that we need to learn from this passage in regard to relationships. Okay, let's go. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. How much that you do?
Everything.
That's a lot, right? Yeah? Yes, okay. In everything, that's a lot. Not just in some things, but everything. Because, why should we imitate God?
Because.
Yeah, he's perfect, but what does the text say? We're his, not just his children, his dear children. Right? Okay, so here's what I have. I have this little guy in my house named Titus, and he's 6 years old, and he loves to copy. So he copies his siblings, he copies his mom, he copies his dad, and so he imitates us. Because he looks at us, and he sees someone who loves him, people who love him, people who accept him, people that he can have fun with and enjoy. And so he imitates us. He acts like us. Okay, this is the good picture of what God desires. That we look at God and, oh, he's our father, right? The Bible says he's our father. And he says, and so we're like little kids and we look at him. We're like, oh, well, I want to be like him. I want to do things like him. That's what he's getting at, right? Like a little kid looking at their dad or their older brother or sister and going like, oh, that's what I want to be like. And they're imitating them, copying them. That's what God is kind of giving us a picture here. He's like, be like me. I'm your dad. Be like me. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. So who better than to learn how to love others, right? Than Jesus, because he was amazing and the best at it. So live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now, I really like this first part because I thought I should start at verse 3 because I have before in a similar talk, but someone's phone going off? Oh, is this boring you, Wyatt? Is this boring you? Okay. All right, we'll try to liven it up a little then. fair enough. All right. And so so Paul is writing this, and he's kind of giving us this broad overview of God and our life in him. And it's really good because it gives you this idea, gives you this family feel that God's pleased with us, that those who are his children, they give off this pleasant aroma. It's like walking to a bakery and they've just baked some fresh stuff and you're just like, oh, now everyone's hungry, right? Sleepy and hungry, uh-oh. Right, this is pleasing aroma to God. So he said this very specifically because of what's coming next. So it's this beautiful picture, but now he's going to say, okay, there's some things that cause this beautiful picture some issues, cause issues with this beautiful picture and can warp it and destroy it. This is what he says. Let there be no sexual immorality. Now, in the NIV, and I wanted to use the NIV, but then I thought this is easier to understand with the language, so I kept it with this. It says, let there not even be a hint, even a hint of sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Just think of school, right? This happens maybe unless you're at Trinity, I don't know. But if you're in any of the other schools, oh yeah, there you go. This is just like normal conversation, right? Hey, you guys, is this kind of normal conversation in your schools? It's all around you? Yeah? No? Just correct me if I'm wrong. You're like, just go like, nope, nobody talks like that. I'm like, okay, awesome. So foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead of these things, so really what he's saying is these are forms of complaining against God. That's why they're bad. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure, now this is a heavy statement. This is why that first statement is so important. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Whew, that one's heavy, right? So if you were here last week, I talked about purity. When it says impure person, if you are in Christ, you are no longer impure, right? We talked about that last week. I don't want you, if you missed that talk, I don't want you to. Anyway, we'll get back to that. All right, let's keep going. Don't be fooled by those who excuse these sins, right? Lots of people around us think that this stuff is fine. Sexual immorality, they're just like, whatever. That's just dumb. I have to read through this because I'm going to hit it later. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once, you were full of darkness, meaning before you accepted Christ and then his way of life. You were living in darkness. For once, you're full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So, since you have this light in you, live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good, right, and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about some of the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines in them. For the light makes everything visible. Okay, so we're going to split this into three parts. I'm just going to go through these three parts. And I think Paul wants us to know these three things. And I already explained the first thing that kind of overarches everything, that we are God's children, dearly loved. He is our Father, and he's saying, imitate me. And then he goes into, this is how you don't imitate me, because this is not how I am, right? Because God doesn't involve himself in the things that he listed. Okay, so let's start. Not even a hint. That's quite small, is it not? Not even a hint of sexual immorality? Woo! So you may be going, what is sexual immorality? Well, we're going to define that. Okay, so let's remember this statement first. Sin is always, always a shortcut that appears to lead to fullness, but always, always ends in emptiness. Okay, this is one of those statements, this is one of those things that we believe as Christians that we cannot let go of. It is really important. Otherwise, we'll fall into exactly what we're going to talk about. So when the Bible says sexual immorality, do you guys have a junk drawer? Where if you don't know what to put stuff, you just throw it in there?
Yes.
Right?
Everyone has one of those.
Yeah, we probably have a couple. Right? Or just like, where do we put this? I don't know, junk drawer. Right? And it just piles up with stuff, and then my wife gets all frustrated and wants to organize it, but it's just junk in there. This is how I want us to think about sexual immorality, okay? Sexual immorality is not this narrow little focus that we have. And so, hey guys, this is something that you will be tempted to believe that in your future. I was, and I fell into it when I was at Mount Royal University, just totally, I narrowed the definition of sexual immorality to just having sexual intercourse with somebody. That's how I narrowed it. Said, well, that's what the Bible's talking about. That's how narrow it is. That is not true. And texts like this expose that as faulty thinking. It's God's junk drawer. There's all sorts of stuff that we throw into it, or that he's thrown into it. And so this is how we're going to define it. Sexual immorality is Satan's bait to lure you away from the fullness that God is offering us. So God is giving you the desires for relationship, maybe someday to have a family, to get married, to start a home, to start a life with someone else. He's giving you those desires. Those are godly desires. He's given you sexual desires, right? And if not yet, they will come, right? As you grow older and your body develops, you will develop these desires. These are not bad desires. God has given you those desires. So lots of people really struggle with this idea that we have these sexual desires, because often they lead us into things, the shortcuts, like pornography and some of the other things that we'll get to in a minute, that lead us away from the fullness and put us in darkness. And anyone who's ever been exposed to pornography knows the darkness and the shame that's involved with pornography. But it's Satan's bait. He wants to bait you away from what God has for you. God has life and light and love and a relationship for you that can honor him and can flourish. But we tend to rebel against what he has, or just we're impatient, so we don't want to wait. And so it's the shortcut that Satan offers us. Okay, so just remember, it's the bait, it's the lure. Okay, so here's let's define it like this. Sexual immorality is any, this is why we're going from this narrow focus to this wider focus. It's any sexually motivated behavior producing some sort of sexual response. Okay, so that's really broad. And so this is how you test it. Well, how do you know? Well, here's some questions. Does it result in arousal? Does it stimulate or gratify any of your sexual organs? Or even in your mind, right? This is the strongest sexual organ. That's the test. If it's a yes, then that is sexual immorality. So if that is happening, then you have a choice to make. You can participate in, happening in your mind, you can participate in it, or you can choose to run away in your mind from this. So you have that choice. So being attracted to a person is not a choice. It is something that happens to you. It's part of the way God's made us. We would not have families, we would not have man and wife, children, right? If there wasn't that initial attraction that is from God. Now, sin has warped those attractions, so you need to know that attraction itself is not evil. It is not bad. It is not something that you decide, okay? So whether that is same-sex attraction or attraction for a man or a woman, the attraction is not something that you are responsible for. It happens to you. Are you guys with me on that? Would you agree with that? Attraction happens, right? It's not something you decide. Are we all on the same page? Or we agree? Anybody go like, nope, I only decide who I'm attracted to. I have great power. Okay, so we're all on the same page on that. Okay, so what you do with that attraction is where the sin can happen. Okay, being attracted, seeing beauty, having thoughts come into your mind suddenly, those are not sin. That's not sin. The sin is what we do with those thoughts or that attraction or what comes into our mind. If we dwell on it, if we fantasize about it, that's when sin enters, okay? If we're trying to push it out, these thoughts are coming in, we're pushing it out, that's not sin. That's actually a good thing. You're doing a good thing. It's not sinful. But the enemy wants you to feel dirty just because you thought about that or simply because you were attracted to somebody you shouldn't be attracted to, right? He wants you to feel dirty for that. And that's the enemy's trick, that he'll take your attraction and make you try to feel responsible for it and then make you feel dirty and different and whatever else that he's going to do. That is Satan. That is not God. Okay? So here's how we can look at sexual immorality. I don't want to specifically talk about pornography. Well, a bunch of stuff. Okay, let's start with porn. And when I'm talking about porn, this is what I want you guys to think. Porn isn't just like stark naked people having sexual contact with each other. That's not, that is porn, but that is not only what porn is. Okay, I want us to think broader. Again, narrow, Satan wants us to think narrow about stuff so he can get you with other stuff. Okay, so if we're going with the broad definition of anything that causes arousal or any sexually motivated behavior, then we need to think bigger, right? And so this includes things like, I don't know if you guys read magazines anymore, but I left these in FHM or Maxim type magazines, right? So I know I had friends in college who were just like, no, these magazines, the girls are still clothed. They're not naked, so it's not porn. But it was causing them to lust. It was causing a sexual response. And so that's not right. So you don't want to have that stuff. You don't want to give Satan those abilities to take you down into darkness, right? So that kind of stuff, Maxim. And then there's those other magazines. Then there's like image-based apps, and I just chose one of them, like Instagram, right? It's an image-based app, so there's lots of images. Just because Instagram doesn't allow porn, see, there you go. I just narrowed the definition. Just because it doesn't allow naked photos doesn't mean that those photos in there aren't dangerous. right? Satan wants to trick you. He wants you to think, well, as long as I'm not looking at full-on porn, pornography on the internet or in magazines or whatever, as long as I just I can take this other route and it's safer and it's, you know, it's less sinful. It's maybe one of your justifications that I can look at it because, yeah, but it's still producing a sexual response. It's still, are you looking at it so that you can honor God? Because remember, that's always the question when we're determining what is sinful and what is not. Does it honor God? If it doesn't, then we got to steer it away, right? We started this text by saying, God saying, imitate me. Be imitators of me. And so we have to be careful of those things. So here's another one. So we'll pull away from porn here. You guys, if you haven't accessed porn on the internet, please don't. There is power. There's evil power in this. And you know, a lot of the porn industry benefits sexual trafficking. We know that, right? A lot of the money that porn receives goes into the trafficking business. And so we do not want to support this stuff. Even if we take aside the sexual immorality that is causing us, the pain that it's causing other people with the trafficking stuff is ridiculous. So don't get into it. And it's very, very powerful. The power in porn is actually in your brain because it produces some chemical experiences in your brain that your body gets addicted to. And so it's actually not the screen images your body's addicted to. It's what the screen images do in your mind. That is a very powerful addiction. And you do not want to get into that stuff. It's tough. If you are in it and you need help, please come and see me or one of the leaders. Like, let's get rid of this. Let's stamp it out. Let's figure out a way to do life in the light, which is where we're going in a minute here. Don't let Satan fill you with shame and all this other stuff. Just, you know, we're not going to spread it around the church. We're not going to look at you like lesser of a Christian if you come and tell. And some of you guys have already done that. You've come and you've laid it out and we've helped you. That's what we want to do. We want to help you. We want to take you to Jesus. We want to pray with you and for you. And then we're going to walk with you, or we're going to put you with somebody who will walk with you and get you through it. We're not going to force you to get your parents involved. We will always ask the question, because what I found is when parents get involved, that kills it, right? Especially if the parent is, and most parents are, and I'm a parent, Darcy's a parent, Jen's a parent, Green's a parent. Like, if our kids come to us and tell us this, I'm not going to go crazy on them. I'm just going to be like, oh, let's beat this. Let's do this together, right? And so you may think your parents are just going to be like crazy about it, but it's Satan. It's shame. It's him saying, no, stay in the darkness. Don't get into the light. And so we would like to help you through that. And we have lots of resources. And yeah, we just love you. And we want you to live in the light, because we know that you can flourish. We know that God has more for you than that. So now let's keep going. So lustful fantasies. So, okay, we're back to the drunk drawer. So lustful fantasies, friends with benefits. Have you guys heard that one? So you don't actually get in a relationship with somebody. It's just you play around with each other's parts, right? Maybe even have sex. That's sexual immorality. Sex before marriage, that's sexual immorality. Homosexuality is sexual immorality. Dirty jokes, we just read it in this text. If you want to narrow it, then you've got to throw text like this, what we just read, out. Dirty jokes, sexting, right? Sexting is sexual type texting, if you know what that is. And then what I've labeled, and I got it from somebody, but I don't remember who, outer course. Okay, so this is all the outside stuff that you might be dating somebody who says, oh, this isn't sex. Yes, it is. Don't be deceived. In fact, we're getting into that. Don't be fooled, right? So anything like oral sex, so that's basically oral sex is, so you're not having, there's no penetration from penis to vagina, but there's, you can use your mouth, you can use your whatever, that mainly the mouth to stimulate these organs. That's oral sex. There's anal sex. So I've heard of people saying, well, yeah, I'm a virgin because, well, I just had anal sex. I was like, what? Okay, people believe this. So don't, you can't buy into this. And you might be dating somebody in the future or even now that says, oh, no, this is okay because it's not real sex. It's just like, don't believe it. Groping, which means touching of sexual organs, your sex parts. Okay, just those are all lumped into sexual immorality. So don't be deceived, right? He goes in after he lists this stuff, after he talks about sexuality, his very next statement is don't be fooled, right? And that's where we're going. So secondly, from this text, we get, don't be fooled. You need to understand this. This is a really important statement. Satan's only power over you comes from when you believe his lies. Okay, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, then his only power is when you believe the lies. Okay, that's why Paul is following up this first part about sexual immorality with don't be fooled. The enemy is going to press hard. He does not want you to experience the fullness and completeness that Christ has for you. Okay, he's going to push back really hard. And so it looks like this. Our culture, when I say our culture, it's the enemy underneath that, right? It's not just, we're not wrestling against people. People have bought into the lies. And so our culture hates the restrictions of God's designs, and they scoff at them, right? They see Christianity as a bunch of rules that shackle you. You're just a slave to all these things. And what they don't, Sydney, you sang that first song. I was like so glad you sang that song because it is exactly what I was trying to think of. What good example can I, for freedom? We were talking about freedom in that song. What's the title of that first song that we sang? Holding Nothing Back. Like my sin, my chains are gone. It's talking about, right? It's talking about what are those chains? It's sin. It's rebellion against God. It's the shackles that our own desires put us in. But our culture sees that as freedom because somehow you get to choose who your master is and who your slave master is, right? But they're slave to their own desires. The reason they can't see it is they're in the darkness. And the pressure from our culture is just like huge. Buy into our system. Scoff at the Bible. What does God know? That's really what the essence of our culture is talking about. Like they just think it's foolishness that we would wait till marriage. And yet look at the destruction in our culture. Like look at how awful was all, like it's just terrible right now, right? And they wonder why we're having such problems, whether it's kids being shooters in schools or these terrible atrocities that are happening. And they don't our culture just doesn't understand, but it's rebellion against God. God has given us this beautiful design, and if we follow it, we flourish. You look at the very few times in the Old Testament when God's people were loving him and living according to his design, and what was happening? Peace was happening, the blessing was happening, and it was just not necessarily that God was like, ooh, blessing, 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 like, right? There's a natural blessing that comes from living in God's design, because he's designed it that way. So this natural fullness, this natural, like, something that we desire and what we need is happening simply because we're going according to God's design. Now, I think God blesses on top of that too. Okay, so don't be fooled by our culture. They are going to say God's a big, great killjoy in the sky, that his commands are all oppressive. But the problem is that this is coming from darkness. This is coming from people who think they're free, but they're shackled in the dark by their own appetites and desires, right? And they can't escape. And they're just say, come in the darkness with us. It's so much more fun. It is for a short time, but again, it's darkness. All right, so we got to keep going here. We're almost done. So firstly, we had not even a hint, right? We talked about sexual immorality. Secondly, don't be fooled. The pressure is going to be to conform to the pattern of the world around us. And thirdly, he says, carefully determine what pleases God. So that's how he leads out in verse 10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So God's good design is, and we've said this statement before, but God's good design is meant for human flourishing and our benefit. And so here's what Paul is laying out. He's like, decide to honor God with your mind and body. with your relationships, all of them, whether it be relationships with opposite sex, marriage relationships, just friendships, relationships between teacher and student, student, relationships on your hockey team or soccer team or whatever. All of those relationships are meant to honor God, and you can honor God with those things. His design is meant to give you life, not to restrict you from life, right? Again, that's don't be fooled. And choosing your own desires over God's, what God's will for you is, will always result in these three things: darkness and probably more. Darkness, despair, and pain. This goes back to our critical perspective, right? Where we start. Do you really want to know what God thinks? And if you find out, are you willing to change your life to fit what God has for you? If you're not, so if you just hear, but don't change your life, change the way you act, this is the result: darkness, despair, pain. That's what you're going to experience as long as you push away. Now, just like, I'm not saying that God's going like, oh, they're doing what I want, blessing, blessing, blessing. Like, he's not doing that, or at least sometimes not, at least. He's also not doing this. Oh, they're not doing what I'm doing. Ah, kill, 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 die, die, die. He's not doing that either, right? It's not the opposite. So this is really important, you guys. When we live outside of God's design, this is what happens. It's not God punishing us with despair. What's meant to happen is when you live outside of God's design, you feel pain, you feel despair, you feel darkness, because those things are meant to draw you back to God and to his design. Yeah, Wyatt. What about it? Yeah, that was the punishment at the time. Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to find out what you mean. What are you getting at? No, God doesn't say that. God does. Okay, did you see what I did? He's not up there going like, kill, 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 die, die, die. Ah. He's not vengeful, right, in that way. Now, is there a consequence to sin? Yes, what's the consequence? Death. Right? So here's the question. Is that, did God just kill the people on the earth with a flood, or does God kill all people? Right? You need to think bigger, people, right? So Wyatt, did God just kill those people with a flood? Is God not responsible for our earth? Does he not determine, the Bible says, that he decides when you live and when you die? See, we have this little view of God, like he's like one of us, so that when we think of him determining when we die and when we live, we think, oh, that's terrible. That's because our view of God is that he's a human. He's not. He decided when you lived, and the Bible specifically talks about this, and he decides when you die. So God is ultimately the architect of your life and death. So yeah. And that's why he says, that's why when we talk about the wages of sin is death, it's awful. Because God did not design life with death, right? Adam and Eve. There was no death in the world when they came in. Death came in when sin came in. And there's a penalty for sin. There's a price that has to be paid. And so some of those people in the flood paid that price. But what we have now is God sending Jesus to pay that price for us. So we all deserve to die. Noah did too, by the way. It wasn't that he was such a this great person. The Bible said he was a righteous man. But the point was that he was simply one of God's kids. And he's like, well, I'll save him. He's not perfect. And we see that after the flood, the crazy stuff that happened and the dumb decisions that Noah made, right? But God just chose to save him because that's what God does. He makes a way for us to have life. And so God's design, people walked away from it. So, and I'm glad you asked that question, because God does judge our sin, right? In fact, it said it right in this text that none of these, like idolaters, sexually immoral, greedy people are not going to be in heaven. They're not going to be part of God's kingdom. And so that's why, again, my appeal to you is, if you're living in darkness, if pornography has got a grip on you, come and see me or one of our leaders and we will help you out of it. Because that's what Jesus does. He helps us out. Okay.
Let's keep going. Does that answer your question, Wyatt? Is that right? Okay, because we can talk about it more too, like later, not now, because now it's 10-2. Okay, so fullness is found in Christ alone, not any other relationship. And that's kind of that my ending kind of statement when it comes to this carefully determine what pleases God. The reason is if we determine what pleases God and we walk in it, then that's where fullness is going to be found, and it's found in no other place or no other person, right? So it's not this guy or girl that you just think the world revolves around. That's going to end at some point. That's, you know, people don't get married and think, oh, this person's only, you know, the world revolves around them right now. They complete me. And then find out a year later and divorce them that they didn't. Like, they don't walk into the marriage going like, this person doesn't complete me, so I'm going to divorce them in a year. Like, they don't think that, right? They think this person completes me. But what they find is that a person cannot ever complete you. Only the person of Christ. Okay, so what are we walking away with before we go to our small groups for the next half hour? One, sin is always a shortcut leading to emptiness. Please remember this, you guys. Don't be fooled, right? Don't be fooled. Sin is not something that is grand and is going to last forever and bring you to fullness. It's not ever going to happen. It always ends in despair and emptiness, always. Right? When we push back against God's design, it hurts us. It's not necessarily, my point there, why it is not necessarily God hurting us. It's when we push against his design and his will, it inherently hurts us because he's designed life that to actually help us to flourish. So don't be fooled. The pressure from around you is going to be strong. Don't buy into it. And not just around you, within you. There's something within you. This is the problem isn't out there, by the way. The problem's in here. There's something in all of us that pushes against God, that wants to rebel against his ways. And we have to deal with that part too. We have to deal with that inner self. The Bible says our hearts are desperately wicked. Like desperately wicked. All right. Finally, determine to please Jesus with your life. This isn't going to fix all the problems. And this is why it was like, God's not like, woo, blessing, blessing, blessing. Because what I'm not talking about is that if you just obey everything God says, then your life will just be this dreamy thing. It's not. It's not going to be like that. There's still going to be problems. There's still going to be trouble. There's still going to be times when you sin. You are always going to need Jesus, even when you're living in God's design to help you. You will always need him. So wholeness is found, and the last thing we're walking away with is wholeness is found in Christ alone. He is what you need. He has what you need, and he is what you need. So don't be fooled by the other options that the world is throwing at you, saying this is what you need. You need a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you need this sexual relationship to make you feel like you're worthy of something, or you need this. That's the lies. Don't believe it. All right. Is that pretty heavy, guys, today? Yeah, it's a little heavier, right? Whenever we talk about sexual immorality, specifically porn, I think that's just one of Satan's big tools to try to destroy people. And the best part for him is that he gets to destroy people in the making of it and people watching it. It's like double whammy. It's awful. All right. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these students. And I know this is a little heavier talk. It's harder to do this talk too, because I'm not just preaching to them. It's to me too. And Lord, I want to walk in your design. And I've thought about this lots during this talk. And I mess up and I falter. And Lord, I need your help. I need your forgiveness. I need your grace, as do all of us. And so, Lord, we're not trying to trumpet our own purity or our own righteousness. We want your righteousness and your purity, your holiness in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you have set us free, and that if there's some chains that are shackling us that we've chosen or have been forced on us, that you are in the business of setting us free, and that you can do that. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's some students here that want to be free from maybe something, some sexual immorality that they're involved, or pornography or whatever, Lord, that you would give them the courage to deal with it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just pray a blessing on these students. They're amazing. I really love them. I think they're top notch. So Lord, I just ask that you would, Lord, your blessing would just come down on them, that they would be able to walk in newness and fullness. And if they're wondering about who you are, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just show them who you are. Help them to see you in just the everyday stuff, not just the big experiences and events. So I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.